as the Lord shall be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and the 6th verse. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Chapter 3, the book of Proverbs, and the 6th verse. I want, as the Lord shall help me, to say something that will abide in your hearts. Words that shall be as nails fastened in sure places. And the greatest mercy that you, dear young people and children, can realize is to have that principle lodged in your heart, whereby you shall acknowledge him. And do remember, it is very simple to remember, if as you journey on through life you are helped to acknowledge God and all that you are and all that you desire to do and where you go, you will have another mercy which is beyond all words to prize. Dear young people, dear children, do remember, if you acknowledge God, God will acknowledge you. And no words of any preacher can tell you what an amazing mercy that is, to find along life's way God coming into your life and to acknowledge you, to be one in whom he takes a specific interest, and that he numbers you amongst those characters of whom the Word of God declares, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to preserve them from death and to keep them alive in a time of famine. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And dear young people, as you journey on through life, you will often come into straits. There will be difficulties arising, mountains maybe blocking up the way wherein you desire to go, and then it will be good if you realize your need of divine aid and to help to seek it. And remember, in the psalm which I read to you, I read it with one specific purpose, because you find in that psalm there is set forth the wilderness wanderer and the afflicted fool and the prisoner in the dungeon and the sailor out on the ocean deep. And it says that they all came into trouble, and they found what you will find. Vain is the help of man. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. When at length they were helped to acknowledge him and seek his divine aid, then they found this word to be a blessed reality. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And now, in opening up this subject, which seems to be rather weighing upon my mind, although I have taken it some years ago, which some of you may remember, but it will not be the same address that I was helped to give then. There will be something in it, I trust, that will be fresh. But first of all, in approaching it, in the Word of God, you will remember that when the ark was built by Noah, that God gave him the pattern of it, how it was to be built. And he was enabled to build it, although it took a long while to do it, but in his mind there was the pattern God had given him indelibly fixed thereon, and so the ark was built according to a divine pattern. And so it was with the tabernacle in the wilderness. God gave the pattern of it to Moses in the mount, and he reminded Moses, "See that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." And then likewise in later years, when Solomon's temple was built, God gave the pattern of it to David, Solomon's father. And he tells us that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and in writing, and the Spirit of God made known to him the pattern. And Solomon was enabled to build it according to the pattern which God had revealed to his godly father. And now, why have I begun my address from that viewpoint? In Ezekiel, there is a word like this, "And let them measure the pattern." And now, dear young people, in the Word of God, there is a divine pattern. God himself has drawn it, inspired godly men to record that pattern in all its jots and tittles and in its details as to how our life should be lived before God, with whom you and I have to do. And there can be no second thoughts about that pattern. You might think when Noah was building the ark that some wiseacres drew near and suggested to Noah this and that, whereby they thought matters might be improved a little. But Noah turned a deaf ear to that. And Moses likewise would have had no interference whatever as to how the tabernacle was to be built, nor would Solomon as to how the temple was to be built. But you, dear young people, are living in a day when there is a mania abroad, and it comes from hell, much of it, to alter that which has been laid down as the good and the right way in the Word of God. And the pattern of this and that, according to the life of the righteous, as God has ordained it shall be lived, men nowadays desire to alter it. I was thinking of a word, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set up." And now you, dear young people, are living in a day when those ancient landmarks are being removed. And what is sad to tell, some of them have actually been removed by the law of our land and to be passed in our Houses of Parliament, as what the state of affairs is to be from now on, in England as a nation. The Sabbath day no longer to be regarded, so that much can be done now on the Sabbath day, and there can be no protest made about it as being against the law, because the law allows it. And as regards the Word of God, there are hundreds of ungodly men supposed to preach the gospel and to teach the scriptures in colleges and schools, but they undermine the pattern, minimize the pattern, and with their critical penknives they cut out this and that set forth in the Word of God. But even if they do cut it out, it will remain a reality. It is still the pattern. And it says, let them measure the pattern. And you, dear young people, when it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, it is equivalent to saying, in your duties and difficulties, as you live your lives, and maybe as you go forth in life's journey, you will be found in places where you have little expected to be. But in such places, when you wonder what is right to do, ask this question and God will answer it for you. What saith the Scriptures? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And now, there is another viewpoint of this subject. In one of the Psalms, there is this recorded, which I like to read, showing the necessity that is laid upon those who wish you well for time and eternity to seek to lead you into the truth of God and set the things of God before you. The psalmist tells us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, do listen, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That is why we have Sunday schools. That is why we hold young people's services, specially desiring to deal with the Word of God as it is suitable to you while in life's mourning. And there is another word which I like to look at, and that is found in Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Listen, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And thinking of this evening's service, I thought of a word the Apostle Paul penned to the church at Corinth long ago, and I want just to say a word or two upon that. Ye or our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Ye are our epistle. And now what I want to make plain is that you, dear children, as you live your lives, you will make it plain whose you are and whom you serve, whether you live for this world or whether you are living for God and desiring to seek a city which is yet to come. Every day, young people, boys and girls and children, are writing a letter for people to read, what the Apostle Paul calls an epistle. And now, the Apostle Paul was addressing the godly people at Corinth, but it also will fit in for those who are not yet godly. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Actions speak louder than words. And now, regarding the godly people, people who do desire to acknowledge God and live inside the covers of His holy word, it is said in the Acts of the Apostles, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And now, do you think, dear young people, that when other people look at you, they can see anything about you of that nature? That there is something which makes you to differ from the world at large? That you are not living just for this world, after the flesh, the things of the flesh, but that you are like Moses of old, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And to help you remember this viewpoint of the subject, I said every day young people are writing down their life's history like a pencil. A pencil makes marks, so our words and actions make marks. And do remember, all that you write in writing your epistle that is known and read of all round about you with whom you have to do, the pencil with which you write is indelible, and it needs something from heaven to erase whatever you have done amiss. You cannot rub it out by your own efforts. No, you need to remember then, when you were conscious you have erred and strayed and made mistakes and done that which was not right before God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now, what part of a pencil writes? It is the heart of it, the lead in the center. If that is bad, you cannot write well. It is the heart of a pencil that writes. And remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Good it would be if you could be helped to sigh and cry like the psalmist when he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." But out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And what you do, what you say, where you go as you are journeying through life, you are writing down an epistle. And other folks can look at you and sometimes read the kind of life that you are living. And now, a pencil must have a point, and it must be kept sharpened. And that means our aims must be right. Our conscience is what makes known our aims to be good or bad. And the fear of the Lord is an unctuous light to what is right and a bar to what is wrong. But what is it that sharpens the pencil, as it were? Oh, it is to be taught to pray, seek divine aid, to wait upon God that He will help you to live as you desire and acknowledge Him, and that the way in which you go may be the right way, and heaven awaits you when you reach the end of it. And then remember, pencils are stamped with their maker's name. You will always find that when you're using a pencil, the maker's name is stamped on it. You and I are like pencils from that viewpoint. Our maker's name is stamped upon us. But do remember this. A little while ago, a letter came to our house which very much pleased us. My wife and I, in reading it, found great pleasure, for it told us we had another little great-grandchild added to our family circle. And the dear little mother in the letter wrote something like this: the baby is the exact image of his father. And I thought, of course he is. She is. Must be so. Now you read that when God made Adam, God made Adam in his own image, the image of God. Wonderful it must have been, for Adam was a perfect creature coming forth from his Creator's hands. But then the Word of God says that Adam and Eve also is helpmeet whom God made for him. They, alas, did not dwell in Eden's garden very long. For it tells us sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And now as you go on reading, you read that when Adam and Eve were given children, Adam begat a son in his own likeness. No longer the image of God. Oh, that was defaced. Very, very much defaced. Sin had defaced it. And from that day to this, sinful fathers always beget sinful sons and daughters. It has gone on like dropping a stone in a pond. The ripples go out and out and out, and they're still going out through the Adam fall, and have not yet reached the outmost bank, for that will not be till time shall be no more. But there is just another thought here, still following this illustration of a pencil. Pencils wear out. Oh, you begin to use them, and you think there must be months of wear in them, but by and by they go down till you have only about an inch or so left, and they are no longer useful. Oh, they get shorter and shorter. And now, as you were writing the epistle of your life, whatever you were writing, and other folk are able to read what they can of it, do you remember? Your life is shortening as you go on writing whatever epistle you are recording. in the life you live. And there comes that time of which it is said, and Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. And so you and I will come to that hour when our heart and flesh shall fail. And now, the great thing is to ponder in your heart what kind of an epistle will be known and read about you when you have lived your life and you are no longer found among the sons of men. There is another word, and that is a very searching word, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And now it tells us that in the original it is said we must all appear, we must be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ. The meaning is we must be turned inside out, whether we are solid oak or varnished deal. And now that needs thinking about. But if you should be helped to live such a life as this word brings before you, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I said at the outset, I say it again, God, whom you have desired to serve and follow and to live unto him, live for him, God will acknowledge you to be his. Yes. Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face, and in the New Jerusalem appoint my soul a place. But I must hasten on. In all thy ways acknowledge him. But now, there is one thing I want to make plain, and I have read this to you before, some long while back. I'm going to read it again, because it is apposite to this subject. The glorious gospel, translated for man, was written the long, long ago, according to Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, of Christ and his mission below. Men may hear and read the gospel of Christ with its love so unfailing and true, but what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? 'Tis a wonderful record, the gospel of God, as it shines in Christ's life, so divine, and oh, that its truth might be told again in the story of your life and mine. Listen, you are writing each day a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. 'Tis the only gospel that some men will read, the gospel according to you. You think, dear young people, as you go about in the world at large, in your everyday lives, some of you to earn the bread which perisheth, you come in touch with the ungodly, but they may know where you worship, whichever cause of truth it may be, and as they see how you behave, so they will judge what is the gospel according to you. And now what you and you need, and us older folks need, is that God shall in his infinite mercy help us to live in that frame of mind. Make me to walk in thy commands, for 'tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. You see, Dear young people, if I can make it plain, you owe it to God to acknowledge him, for he made you. You are his creature. All that you are is what God has given you in how he made you his creature. Your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your tongue, your heart that beats, yes, your busy working brain. In him we live and move and have our being. You are his creature. Therefore, it is said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, ere the evil days come not. And you might not think of this, but I will remind you that you owe to God how you shall use your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your tongue, and how your heart beats, and that strength wherewith he maintained you in life. You owe it to God as his creature to live unto him, remembering he is your creator. It is due to God that you should acknowledge him as his creature, and he is your creator. Think that over prayerfully as the Lord shall help you. And then it means this: not only to acknowledge him as your creator, but acknowledge him for who he is. I've already quoted this scripture: in him we live and move and have our being. Do think then, how little do you think sometimes, how utterly dependent you are on God, with whom you have to do. I like that word of the psalmist: oh, bless our God, ye people, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Godly people are glad to echo those words sometimes, and out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak, as they desire to acknowledge him. And Job did likewise when he said, thou hast granted me life and favour, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And now it means to acknowledge his word, and that it is his word, Holy Bible, book divine, and that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I've no time to go into it as I should like to. It means also that it is due to God as your creator that you not only acknowledge his word, but his day. Whatever men may say, whatever laws they may pass, it still remains. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, ye shall reverence my sanctuary. You see, dear young people, worship is due to God. And it is laid down, God is greatly to be feared, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And it means this: do acknowledge his people. Do you remember it was said to Jonah, of what people art thou? And Jonah, although he was a guilty Jonah, he told the truth. I am a Hebrew. I fear God, which made the sea, which is now so tempestuous to you on account of me. And he made the dry land also. And now, do remember this. I hardly ever read the burial service, but what I think of one scripture in it, when it speaks about every man in his own order. And that is, when the last great day shall come, and the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall arise. And how will they arise? With the same characters with which they were laid in the grave. If they are indeed numbered, as we hope you dear young people will be, with the dear people of God, then you will belong to the dead in Christ, which shall rise first. But if you die as you were born and live your life after the flesh, then you will reap the corresponding harvest of living such a life, and it will be every man, it is in the original, every man in his own regiment. Yes. If you remember, it says about godly Jacob, when he died and he was gathered unto his people, and you will be gathered to the people that you belong to while you live. If you belong to the people of God, that will be the people you will be found among on the other side of the grave, when, as I have said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But if you a worldling live and a worldling die, then you will arise from the grave with that character. And where God is, you can never be found, because his word will be, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. You see how important it is to think of a word like this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge his people. And now some of you, dear young people, do so. And some of you are glad to sing, let me amongst thy saints be found, whene'er the archangel's trump shall sound. That is a petition. And you have a desire to be like Ruth when she said, thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. Oh, you have said, with them numbered I would be now and in eternity. In going back a moment to acknowledging his word, there is one viewpoint of acknowledging his word that I want to emphasize. And here I want to read you something which is written down on purpose for me to read to you. It is to do with a man, alas, who was supposed to be a preacher of the gospel, but he did not preach it as he should have done, nor did he practice it. And the outcome was, there was mischief wrought. And now, this is only of recent date. The heavy prison bolts turned on the minister, and he looked sadly on the prisoner in the strange garments and thought with more and more anxiety of his errand. He had come to see a young man of his congregation convicted of forgery. The heartbroken parents had begged him to visit the prison, hoping the peace of the gospel might reach even his gloomy cell. As the pastor kindly greeted him, the youth scarcely replied, but gazed with a sort of sullen defiance. He began giving the mother's tender message with the interest all the church felt in his welfare. At last the youth broke out, Do you know? You were he that did it. What have I done? Replied the pastor, striving to understand the strange language. I began the business, returned the youth, speaking very loudly, in your Sunday school. Don't you remember the Sunday school fair, when you first set up raffling and hid a gold ring in a cake, just for 25 cents too? I got a whole box of little books. I was pleased with my luck and went in afterwards for other chances. Sometimes I gained and sometimes I lost. Money I must have for lotteries. I was half mad with excitement, so I used other folks' names. And here I am. Don't let the church come groaning around me. They may thank themselves. Their raffling was what did it, and they ruined me. You see, dear young people, here you see the evil of not remembering what I hope you, dear young people, will remember. A church is for that which is spiritual. And you must never look for a church to have next door to it a church hall where they do such things as whist drives and raffles and those things which are altogether foreign to the kingdom of God being built up. Them that honour me I will honour. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We see things like that in our village life. There are things which are done, and it is supposed to be for a good cause, but it is nothing whatever to do with our subject. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and God does not require his cause on earth to be built up with that which is evil in its nature. The thing is altogether obnoxious to God. And therefore, I hope you, dear young people, will not be tempted to do anything contrary to what you know the Word of God declares to be the good and the right way in which you should go. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And then there is another thought. Acknowledge his gospel. And there, the gospel, I must not take up time to enlarge upon it, but the gospel is called the glorious gospel. And what makes it glorious is that it makes it so plain that God is approachable. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he delighteth in mercy. This man receiveth sinners. I have told you sometimes, I tell you once more, mercy's door has a knocker on it low enough for a child to reach. And I would like to read to you again what you all know. Do you remember when we had one of our carol services that you sung about Jacob's ladder? I lighted on the words of it. I thought I would read it to you once more. As Jacob with travel was weary one day, at night on a stone for a pillow he lay. He saw in a vision a ladder so high that its foot was on earth and its top in the sky. Hallelujah to Jesus, who died on the tree and has raised up a ladder of mercy for me. This ladder is long, It is strong and well made, has stood hundreds of years, and is not yet decayed. Many millions have climbed it and reached Zion's hill, and thousands by faith are climbing it still. Come, let us ascend. All may climb it. Who will? That is to say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the angels of Jacob are guarding it still, and remember each step that by faith we pass o'er. Some prophet or martyr hath trod it before. And when we arrive at the haven of rest, we shall hear the glad words, "Come up hither, ye blessed. Here are regions of light. Here are mansions of bliss." Oh, who would not climb such a ladder as this? And now, this word tells us, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." And in doing that, you can be found at the foot of that ladder that Jacob saw in that wondrous vision that he had. Even the dear Saviour made it very plain how glad we are that he was pleased to condescend to do so. "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not." Even little children can be found at the foot of Jacob's ladder, and by faith as a grain of mustard seed, make known their soul's desires, and see the Lord standing above that ladder to grant them what their soul's desire set forth. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." The foot of it was on the earth that sets forth the humanity that Jesus Christ was verily man. The top of it reached heaven itself, signifying his divinity. He was the eternal Son of God, verily man. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And now, what do you sing in Sunday school sometimes? "Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band, singing glory, glory, glory." And now, where did they stand when they dwelt on the earth before their redeemed spirits stood where they do now, around the throne of God in heaven? Oh, they stood before Jacob's ladder at the foot of it. They stood before the throne of grace, seeking to make known their soul's desires, that they might win Christ and be found in him. And the soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." And do acknowledge the providence of God. At each succeeding mealtime you sit down, and your table is bountifully spread. And it is the hand of God that spreads it. And you should say thank you to God and acknowledge him in his goodness and mercy as it passes before you in life's way, and not take it for granted, and on no account grumble or grizzle, because there should not be on the meal table what you hope there would be. You have no right whatever to grumble like that. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." And now, as I come toward the amen, There is just one other viewpoint. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And now, there is a question. What think ye of Christ? And now you think when Jesus Christ was on earth and as he was journeying up to Calvary's cross and in Pilate's judgment hall, how the people regarded him. They did not acknowledge him to be who he was. Verily God, verily man. But they said, away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Oh, they would not and did not acknowledge him to be who he was, the dear Son of God, the friend of sinners, come down to open a door of mercy in heaven and to make sure that Jacob's ladder should stand as long as time should be, that poor sinners in their felt need of divine aid might seek unto God and obtain it. And now, what think ye of Christ? Do you acknowledge him? Is it to be seen in how you live that you acknowledge him? Do you acknowledge him in what you say, what you do, and the company that you keep, and where you go? And now I want to conclude with reading you something which was handed to me and which will make you all think, at least. If you do not think, I shall be very much surprised, and I shall have my own thoughts as to why you do not think. This is called the Heavenly Guest. And remember, this is not to dear young people only. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you are glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But, and now this is all important, it is a very important but, when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you have to turn the TV off and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. dear friends, that needs thinking about, and thinking about very prayerfully. I have sometimes said, in my attempts to preach the gospel, that there needs to be yet more bonfires, like we read of in the Acts of the Apostles, when God worked so mightily at Ephesus and the Church of Christ was built up there, and they were so wrought on by the Spirit of God that they came and brought their books and works of curious art and things which were not God-honoring at all, and had a mighty bonfire in the Ephesus marketplace. And dear friends, I think in our denominational life there could be lighted up quite a few bonfires up and down therein. This is the way the Word of God shows you how to live the life of the righteous. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There is nothing more delightful in this life than to find two scriptures fulfilled. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And to feel like the psalmist when he said, "This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And remember, if you are helped to live such a life, the Lord grant you the great mercy so to live. And if you and I are helped to do so, when time shall be no more, this great God will acknowledge you. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Amen.